disappear. They've taken flight. They're angels free to fly. They have no human shape, face or eyes. Soaring higher, farther than your eye. How could it be? How could there be no splendid view, feel the earth around you, touch the early morning dew, hear the birds above you, listen to the sweet melodious tune, watch the dancing figures fade beyond.
You are listening to CFRO Community Radio Station on 102.7 FM. The upcoming show, Conscious Living Radio, is a program that explores frontiers of consciousness, spirituality, personal growth, emerging paradigms in psychology, health, science, and innovative philosophies that reflect commitment to the advancement of individual, social, and global transformation.
Back at Conscious Living Radio, and we have a next guest. Judith, could you please introduce her?
Yes, we have with us Bob Cole and Bob Robert. Are you Robert or Bob? We didn't clarify that.
Depends.
Okay, who would you like to be tonight?
On the book cover, I'm Robert.
Robert.
In my life, I'm Bob.
You're Bob. Okay, yeah. We'll call you Bob tonight. So Bob spent years wandering North and South America working as a scuba instructor, a construction worker, community organic gardening teacher, a firefighter, photographer, and professor. And in 1985, he lost his lower right leg after a motorcycle crash in the Dominican Republic and began his undergraduate studies at the age of 40 and now holds a PhD from the University of BC. But he's here to talk to us about the experiences that he's had in solitude, and he's written a book called Solitude, Seeking Wisdom in Extremes. And I'd like you to tell us about that.
Well, solitude's a huge subject. It's sort of like life, in a sense. And it's just been part of my life for a long time, since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And in our culture, there's this kind of a sense that solitude is a bit suspect. Mm-hmm. It's all right to spend a few minutes alone, but the fundamental meaning of life is when we're in relationship, talking with other people. And I think that that's only a partial view of the situation, that I think it's vital that we're in relationship with other people. But it's also vital we're in relationship with ourselves. Solitude's a wonderful place to explore deeply, step out of the social matrix for a while and just really spend time with ourselves and with the non-human world. Mm-hmm. And it's something greater, perhaps, for some people. Mm-hmm. For me, there's a presence that emerges and strengthens when I'm in solitude that I get glimpses when I'm in the social world. But mm-hmm. when I spend long periods alone, that presence becomes very palpable and strong in my life. So, mm-hmm. and the world becomes sacred and alive. Everything at times is just vibrant with life. There's a deep spaciousness, a stillness. And so there's a sense of discovering that I'm not who I think I am, and that there's something a lot more going on, that I'm part of something a lot greater, and that something is what I've been looking for, and I've always had it. So there's that sense of slowing down and coming into a place of stillness and going, oh, yeah, this is what I've been looking for, and it's been here all along.
Yeah. But you've just been distracted by the social aspect of life.
Well, and also often distracted by the search for that very thing we think is missing. You know, it's a real catch-22.
Yes. No, it's interesting because we just, our previous guest was saying how much we're pack animals and that we need to be with others. Now, some people might go into solitude but not find what you're talking about because they would be, you know, lonely or missing the social contact, or that their fears might come up or their old traumas might come up. What do you think it is about that makes the difference to being able to actually access that depth you're talking about?
I think the willingness to experience everything you've just said, that I certainly don't feel that solitude is better than being with other people. It's not that one is right and one's wrong. I think that if we can't be with other people, we're very limited as human beings. And if we can't be alone with ourselves, we're also limited. Yeah. And so for me, it's an exploration of aliveness, of the scope and the potentiality of what it means to be human. Also, there's a sense of community that's a lot deeper than simply being a pack animal. Being part of this underlying flow of life that we're all individual manifestations of. And in solitude, there's this opportunity to sink down into that and find a deeper connectivity. And that there's a sense sometimes of sitting alone. I'm a community. Mm-hmm. I've got bacteria and skin mites and viruses and all kinds of creatures. You know, this body is not mine. I'm sharing it with many. And so I'm not saying that everybody should spend a long time in solitude. For me, it's valuable, and I think for many people. So I think there's a couple of things going on in our culture. So I don't make global statements. Or if I do, because we all slip into it, right? I just made one. I attempt to avoid them. And generally when I say something global, it's a habit pattern. It's kind of a twitch of habitual thinking. I try to stay with my own experience. And if somebody goes, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Great. Mm-hmm. If not, well, it's not. Mm-hmm. So I would never say this is how everybody should do it.
But it's for you. I notice as you're talking, when you're talking about those states, you're using your hands and your arms very much to do with the body.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I live in my body. We live in our bodies. Mm-hmm. That's one of the joys of solitude as well. For me, one of the sadnesses of our culture, because we become so specialized often, much of what we learned to do when we were kids falls by the wayside. Many of us played instruments, and we did all these different things, and now we don't do those anymore. We grew up. And in solitude, especially deep solitude, long solitude in the wilderness, you have to do everything. It's a real self-sufficient, and that's an incredible challenge, but it's also a joy, the sense of resiliency and self-reliance. And paradoxically, there's a profound need for surrender. So there's these two things that arise at the same time, this the sense of self-dependence and an awareness, oh, I'm not a separate entity. I can't make it on my own. I'm part of something much deeper that I need to rest in and depend on.
Well, I'm just curious for people who feel inspired to, after 40 or 50 years being pack animals and socializing and spending almost every minute of their life either with people about or thinking about being with people, and they would like to try experimenting with solitude. What would be the first step?
The first step is to take a, in my sense, again, everybody's got a different first step. Some people's first step is stepping off the edge.
Well, you wrote a book, so you're the expert.
I'm an expert. I think just taking a few minutes a day and being alone, wherever we are. We sleep alone, but in our waking hours, we tend to stand up and we're off. We're completely engaged. And even if we're physically alone, we're often engaged on the internet. Mm-hmm. But to take just a few minutes and simply sit with ourselves, just to be with ourselves wherever, either in our apartment or down at the beach or on a park bench or wherever, just spend some time. The other thing I think is huge is one of the reasons my sense is that many people avoid solitude is fear. There's this deep terror of spending long periods alone with ourselves, because there are parts of ourselves we avoid. We all have shadows, and it's painful stuff. And so solitude is an opportunity and also a challenge to face those dark aspects of ourselves. And I don't think solitude's the only place that has to happen. Anyone that's going deeper within themselves, if they want to come off the surface of life and really look deep, you have to face the dark shadows that we tend to avoid. And so a lot of what we're doing in our culture is distraction, so we don't have to face those aspects of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so part of the process, and a fundamental part, is this sense of settling back and allowing ourselves to experience whatever comes up without getting carried away. Because in solitude, it also can be dangerous if certain states, there's a sense of you can get really carried away with it and swept off into panic and insanity. But on the other hand, not repress, because sooner or later it'll come bubbling up. And so finding that middle place of allowing it to come up with care and experience it fully, and if starting to say, this is getting a little too much now, then backing away. And so learning to dance with ourselves, with all the different aspects of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. In some ways it sounds like meditation, you know, like a deep meditation retreat. Mm-hmm. And traditionally, a lot of in the ancient systems, people would go away into a cave or something mm-hmm. like that mm-hmm. and away from community. But it sounds like you've brought in the whole element of self-sufficiency as well by going. It's not just the quiet and being away from people in mm-hmm. a safe place. You've added the element of being out in nature completely, right, where you don't know what's going to happen. What's that side about?
Well, there's a couple things. First is that if you lock yourself in a cave, you're committing to self-sufficiency on a psychological, spiritual, emotional level. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily physically. Mm-hmm. Somebody may be bringing you your dinner. Mm-hmm. But you're saying, I'm going to deal with this whole body-mind process, not getting my food, but everything else, I'm going mm-hmm. to deal with it. So there's a profound sense of self-reliance in doing that, of stepping away. For me, maybe the fundamental of spiritual development, spiritual practice, is self-surrender, mm. of really letting go. And if we're part of a religious tradition or spiritual tradition, we can have a guru, a leader that we surrender our will to. Or if we're part of a church, we can surrender to the will of God or to Christ. For those of us that are more secular, the question arises, well, what do I surrender to? Mm-hmm. I need to let go of this ego self that's clinging and demanding mm-hmm. to be in control. But what is it that I surrender to? And for me, it's the moment, to actual life, however life is in this moment. And carrying that into the wilderness brings that the immediacy of the transitoriness of our lives, of that death is right there all the time. And it's not simply an academic exercise, the sense of surrender, the sense of the transitoriness, but it's right there in your face. And, mm-hmm. and so for me, that's part of my learning experiences. I need to take myself into situations, mm-hmm. and that's just how I learn. Some mm-hmm. people can learn from books. Some people can learn from theoretical exercise. I don't learn very well that way. So mm-hmm. I can learn it intellectually, but if I want to really make it my own down in my gut, down at the cellular level, I need to put myself in situations and then live them. And so deep solitude is one of those mm-hmm. opportunities for me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I guess there's a difference between what Judy was referring to in terms of doing this as a part of some kind of spiritual practice or even social practice that some, you know, indigenous cultures may have, that part of the rite of passage. Mm-hmm. So where after this solitude, there was recognition among the group or village that this individual went through that process and is bringing back some either wisdom, experience, or some gift that the vision quest was part of that, were being incorporated back into society. Right. And the purpose of doing that was actually to be deeper or better human being as a part of this community. In your case, if I hear you correctly, it is more for the sake of exploring myself, regardless of how the group or society is going to view this, or if they are going to approve this of this or not.
Approval, I agree, mm-hmm. or and even view, I agree. But since we're embedded in the world, we're not separate entities. So any time I change myself, I'm of necessity making a difference in the world. I'm always part of the world. And so if I'm this, I contribute that to the world. If I become something else, if there's been a transformation, then I contribute that to the world. Mm-hmm. So there's no way of not having it affect the world around me. And that for me is an illusion. It's mm-hmm. predicated on the notion that we're not essentially always woven into the various systems of our lives. Mm-hmm. So I teach systems thinking, and one of the things in systems thinking we're looking for is leverage points, how to make a difference in the world. Mm-hmm. And what I teach my students is we are the leverage points.
And you're going to be teaching this weekend during the wellness show as well. What is that lecture about?
I don't know yet. Yeah. Something to do with solitude.
We're not going to be sitting silent for an hour.
Yeah. Go off and be alone. We'll see you in an hour.
Discuss.
I'm not sure what it'll be. Something. There'll be some activities, not just me talking. Mm-hmm. Some question and answers. Probably I'll talk a little bit to try to get the juices flowing, because I find the interaction a lot more intriguing and exciting mm-hmm. than simply standing up on my hind legs and chattering along.
Right.
And I really, the book, my intention in writing the book wasn't simply to talk about my experience. It's a kind of it's an adventure tale, a wilderness survival. But it's also a guided meditation of inviting readers to come into the process and going through these different shifts of consciousness and experiencing that and reflecting on their own lives. And so mm-hmm. this weekend will be something about the same as a process of self-exploration, perhaps, questioning and getting, you know, just saying, well, what am I really afraid of in myself?
Right.
So.
For those listeners who would like to buy your book, obviously they can come to the show and, mm-hmm. and get not only the book, but also your signature, right? Your autograph. But for those who cannot come, how can, what is the webpage where they can order the books and find out more information?
On my website, it's bobkull, bobkull.org. And there's the book available, and also a couple of DVDs. One is a video from Solitude, mm-hmm. and another is a video recording of one of the slideshows I've done of it. It's also a guided meditation, so those things are available. But it'd be great if people come out and we'll just get together and spend
a while.
What time
is the lecture?
I don't know.
11 a.m. 11? To 12.
On, okay.
on Saturday.
And the wellness show is in the convention center.
Yeah, I'm told.
Better find out.
I should try to get there.
I think if you can find your way across Chile, you can find your way to the convention center.
As you said, bringing back answers. Mm-hmm. One of the very disturbing things about this year was this sense of, well, crap, I'm not finding any answers. I'm supposed to come back with a pocket full of gifts and answers, and I came back with more questions. And essentially what I discovered for myself is there aren't any answers. Mm-hmm. We keep looking for these ultimate answers, and I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think we live fully, and it's not trying to get something, but it's giving ourselves to life.
Mm-hmm. So. To live is to give.
Yeah.
So can I ask Andrew's question that you have 1 minute to answer?
Okay.
What is the purpose of life?
It's to live. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any... My sense is when we stop living fully, we start living a conceptual existence. We start getting lost in our mind, and there's this feeling of hollowness that emerges because we're not fully engaged in actually living. Mm-hmm. And then we start trying to find the meaning of life to fill that mm-hmm. hole. And that very process takes us further and further away from simply being present moment by moment. And so for me, living is its own answer. It's mm-hmm. its own meaning. There's nothing to get out of it. There's nothing, no place to take anything to. And it's really hard to live empty-handed, to live simply in the moment and celebrate the sacredness and the wonder of life and mm-hmm. moment by moment. It's really hard. Mm-hmm. I don't do it all the time.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Bob Cull, who's going to be speaking about solitude at the Wellness Show.
Calms me to sleep, wakens me with desire just to be. I feel sunrise sparkles in my eyes, it inspires my dreams. My confidence fades when my courage wanes.